So here I was looking at all this myself. I was exercised by it. I'd heard Sam Harris with his question. I'd heard this lady with her experience of suffering, trying to understand what had happened to a little girl who'd been killed. And I decided to go and see Sangharakshita, who's sort of, I suppose, the root teacher in my tradition, or my community, rather. I think it's too young to be called a tradition. Let's call it a community. So Sangharakshita is the root teacher of our community. And I decided to go and see him and talk to him about it. I thought, I want to hear what he's got to say about karma and rebirth. Because when Sangharakshita gives public talks, he's completely straight about it. He plays it with a straight bat, as they say in cricket in Britain. He lays out the tradition as it's given, without varnishing. And I had a very, very interesting conversation with Sangharakshita about this. He basically said he never tells people that he knows what happens after death. Never tells people that. That's his starting point. His second point is he tells people what the Buddhist tradition is. And then he tells them his experience of it as a teacher and as someone who spent a long time thinking about it and looking about it. One interesting thing he said to me was he tends to imagine it as, he said, very provisionally, he was very careful, he speaks very carefully. He said it's as if it's a stream of energy, perhaps psychic energy, was what he said. And it has some sort of process of continuance through death, through physical death. And I finished the conversation by saying to him, well, what is your duty as a teacher when you're faced with this kind of thing and you have your own doubts? And he said, pass on the Buddhist tradition, pass on what I've said about it, and if you think it's relevant, pass on your own experience. Actually, as it happens, I don't think my own experience is particularly relevant. And there's plenty in the Buddhist tradition and Sangharakshita's own take on it to be getting on with. So, whew, lots of ideas in there. We're going to take one last look at the ideas. And we're going to do it with the help of a bhikkhu. One of the first ever Western bhikkhus who was ordained. A guy called Nyanatiloka Mahathera. Nyanatiloka Mahathera. He was a German, and he was ordained into the Theravada monastic tradition in 1904. Now, he's great, because I found an article by him from 1959, and he's got a very sharp mind, and he decides to take on all comers when it comes to this kind of stuff. And what he basically says is, if it's not all just a metaphor, if what the Buddha's saying, that there are actually conditions for the arising of beings, one of which is sperm, one of which is egg, the other is something that's been carried over through consciousness in some way, some energy of some kind, and that it's all subject to the process of pratityasamutpada. He says, something persists, there's a process that carries over somehow. And he refers to it as karma energy, that's his phrase, which is quite similar to Sangharakshita's thing, kama vega in Pali. Something persists. It's a process that's carried over somehow. It's emotionally and volitionally and habitually conditioned by previous actions. Almost as if the energy's flavoured by its long-standing mode of expression, which is a mind, a personality, a consciousness that's not exactly equivalent to a brain. So it's almost as if the carrier has flavoured the energy, and somehow the energy's carried over. It's very hard to see this, and it's very important to remember that it's not personal. It's not you. It's not your personality that's been carried over. You are not Cleopatra reincarnated. Everyone's Napoleon. Someone is always Napoleon or Cleopatra. It's not like that at all. So the nature of what it is to be alive is mysterious and open and takes you away from a fixed sense of you. And the nature of that process carrying on somehow by some mechanism through death is of the same mysterious nature. But Nyanatiloka, I wanted to read you some stuff. He talks about it with Jung. So Jung, in his text, Soul Problems of the Present Day, which I don't actually have a date for because Nyanatiloka doesn't give it, Jung says the following: from the living source of instinct springs forth everything creative. Whatever has been created by the human mind results from contents which were really unconscious or subconscious germs. The term instinct is of course nothing but a collective term for all possible organic and psychic factors whose nature is for the greater part unknown to us. So that's what Carl Jung said. Not a Buddhist, not in that tradition. And Yanatiloka connects this to the idea that occurs in the Abhidharma, which is again a quite early Buddhist collection, of something called Bhavanga Sota, which is a subconscious life stream. So again, you get this image of a stream of something that's got to do with who you are and how it carries over. Touching back to experience for a second, the Abhidharma tradition, which Nyanatiloka is referencing with this quote from Jung, is a tradition of meditators. It's some of the earliest meditators. And what they set out to do was map the entire human experience. Everything that could possibly arise in the human mind. Every subtle difference of mental state. Every subtle process of arising and response. Robert Thurman calls them the psychonauts, like the astronauts of the mind. And they go out and they map the inner galaxy of the mind. So again, it's got to do with experience. It's not got to do with an idea.